The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
With all that we're talking about, it's a good thing to have so much going on. We want to put our faith into practice. And this whole series is dedicated to that. This series we started last week called Being Rich and What Matters Most. This series, my encouragement to you is that if you miss any of the weeks, that you make it a priority to go online to our Facebook page or iTunes or our website and listen to each week's message, because they build on each other. And some of it may not make as much sense unless you hear the whole thing as a whole. So if you missed last week, go back. It was one of my best sermons I've ever taught. So, yeah. So let me just review a little bit for us, and we'll dive in. First of all, I want to pray. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing to those near and far. And God, I pray that you just move through us in mighty ways as we are here, not to just sit in some chairs and sing some good music and talk to one another, but God, we're here to put what we believe into practice. And God, I thank you for that. God, I pray that you be with us right now as we look into your word, as we look into all that you did for us as an example that you set for us. And I pray, God, that you help us to follow in your footsteps, to live as you lived, and to let you live through us. So, God, be with us. Bring these words to life. Let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we kicked off the series Being Rich, and there were two things that I really focused on last week. There was good news and bad news. Okay, what was the good news? That's right. The good news that I came to proclaim to all of you, whether you knew it or not, is that you are rich. Don't you feel great? What was the bad news? You're rich. Good news, bad news, we're rich. Let's face it, the truth is that according to a website, globalrich.org, the statistics show that if you make $33,000 or more a year, you are in the top 1% of all the income wage earners in the world. $33,000. I know most of you in this room make that amount of money and you don't feel very rich. Some of you are very wealthy. Some of you, according again to globalrich.org, if you make more than $88,000 a year, you are in the top 0.1% of all the people in the world. That's alarming. And so when the scriptures that we're looking at, that God wrote, had written here, when Paul was writing and encouraging this young man, Timothy, on how to instruct the church and how to raise up leaders. And he said, now, when you're talking to the rich, tell them these things. That's us, guys. We make up the top 1% of the world financially. I mean, you may not feel rich. And there are many times when I don't feel rich. But the truth is, we are rich. Last week's sermon was all dedicated to helping you be convinced that we are rich. We are rich because we have rich people opportunities. We have rich people blessings poured into our lives. And God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. The bad news is that we are rich. We have rich people problems. As rich people, we have way too many options that compete for our time. I signed up for this. I paid for that. I'm supposed to go to this. We have all these things that we've put ourselves involved in because we're so rich we can afford all these options, and then we're like, oh, how do I juggle them all? How do I make them all work? And instead of focusing on the right priorities, we're torn between other things. Some of our other rich people problems is we pull up sometimes to a fast food place and they put pickles when we ordered no pickles. Rich people problems. We go into our bathroom and we're frustrated because there's no cell coverage and we can't do business while we're doing business. We have rich people problems. But seriously, there are spiritual challenges that come with riches as well. And we looked last week that it's hard for us to depend on God when we have enough to depend on ourselves. It's hard for us to not be distracted we get distracted from the good things. Instead, we focus on the things that aren't as important. And then we also realize that part of the bad news is that to him who has much, much is expected. And as we are rich, much is expected from us. And so we need to learn what it means to be rich and how to be good at being rich in the things that matter most. And so this week I want to focus your handout there. The title is The Deceitfulness of Riches. And so we're going to dive into that today. And so you can, if you're a note taker, there's place there for you to take notes. But we're going to dive into the deceitfulness of riches. Can somebody run me my bag? It's sitting right there next to Dediel, who's translating. Yes, bring that bag up. How many have ever been to one of those pizza places? How many remember Showbiz Pizza? One? Two? Only two of you? How many remember Chuck E. Cheese? There you go. Showbiz was like the big thing when I was young. And Chuck E. Cheese is the big thing now that I'm old. How many of you know what these are? Tickets, right? Lexi and I love going to Chuck E. Cheese. And one of the biggest reasons we love going to Chuck E. Cheese is the tickets, okay? So we'll go in and we'll save up, or she'll bring her report card and we'll get extra coins, and we'll go and we'll start, I'll start instructing her like how to get the right way. And then eventually I'll like, okay, Lexi, move, let the master work, and I'll get to work, and we'll start scoring 10, 15, sometimes 20 tickets for each token. And every once in a while we'll get a jackpot. That's amazing, right? Feels so good. And so you amass all these tickets. You're doing all you can to get all these tickets. And I see big smiles because you've been there. So many of us, we live for the tickets. And then we go to the ticket counter. We're so excited because we've got 748 tickets. And we go up and we're expecting this big prize. And we walk away with something like this. All that work. Now, as adults, life really hasn't changed that much. It's just that the tickets are a little different, aren't they? And we're doing all we can to get as much tickets so that we can stack them up and make our pile. And at the end of the day, we have those tickets and we feel good. The more tickets we get, the more we're going to feel happy. The more tickets we get, the more we're going to feel secure. And we just keep working for the mighty ticket. Because we feel like this thing can promise us happiness. We feel like this thing can promise us security. And so we work hard to try and get the ticket, when oftentimes we realize we don't have enough. When oftentimes we feel like we just have to keep going back for more. The world wants us to know something. It wants us to do something. The world wants us to serve money. It's all about the tickets. And you might be sitting there and say, oh, it's no problem here. I don't have any money to serve. It's all about the heart. It's all about the mindset. Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and what? Money. And what's interesting about that verse, I think it gets right to our heart. You notice it doesn't say you can't serve both God and people. It doesn't say you can't serve both God and power, God and prestige, God and fill in the blank. It says money. He jumps right to money. And the reason I think it does that is because I think money so easily deceives us. We can think we're on the right track. We can think we're doing the right thing. But so often we get off track just for this little ticket. It is the number one competitor for our hearts. And I believe the number one stumbling block to us becoming all that God wants us to be in this life as the rich people that he has blessed us to be. We cannot serve both God and money. So we've got to figure out how to get through life in the right way. Money promises what only God can provide. It promises us happiness. and it promises us security. And so we need to figure out that if money can't truly give those things and it can only come from God, we've got to figure out how to start living like good rich people should. Happiness. If you get enough money, if I were to have enough money, I could go out and build up my stacks big enough so that I could go and buy that pair of shoes to match that dress, to match the necklace, to match the earrings that I got for 50% off. If I just got enough. If I got enough in my stack, I could go out and buy that smartphone so I could text with friends and get the right prom date and not have to live miserably single the rest of my life. If I got enough money in my stack, I could go out and buy that house with just a few more bedrooms, a few more bathrooms that you're going to have to renovate anyway. I have a whole stack of tiles in my garage because of leaks in my 10-year-old house. We keep getting driven. We want to buy that new car that'll make us feel happier, that car with the sunroof. We want to be able to pay someone to clean our house. You want to be able to pay someone so you can get your nails done. The ladies, that is. I know some of you men have tried that. I've got 3 girls, so we've done makeovers at home, but I've never paid for someone to do my nails. And ladies, those of you that pay to do your nails, you know you're only doing that for other ladies. I've never known a single other guy that said, "Wow, have you checked out her nails? I wonder if they're fake." Fill in the blank. If I had more whatever, I'd be happy. But the truth is that if we allow ourselves and our hearts to truly be open, only God can provide what money promises. Money promises to give us happiness and security, but only God can provide lasting joy. We think if we just get more and more and more, but there's always going to be more to get. Money never satisfies. It cannot provide happiness. Only God can provide true and lasting joy. So, the second thing, money can't give happiness, money can't give security. Many of us get into the mindset that if I had more money, I'd be secure. I'd be able to take care of my debts. If only I can make twice as much as I make now, I'd be set. But there's always going to be more. And even if you were to obtain some kind of lofty goals that you set for yourself, you're never really going to be secure. Because if you go to your bank and you've got this huge bank account, but sickness comes, money will not buy your way out of sickness. You might invest well, but money will not buy you out of the market crashing. Security cannot come by what money promises to buy. You can only get security in who God is. Money promises what only God can provide. So some of you are sitting in this room and you would say, "You know, I don't serve money, John. I don't have that problem, that temptation in my life." Let me ask you a couple questions. And just, again, be honest with yourself. And I'm speaking to myself here. Last week I said that this message wasn't original to me. I've tweaked it a little bit. But I meet with a group of pastors once a month. And I've been reading a couple books. And a lot of this material is taken from a book called How to Be Rich by Andy Stanley and a study written by Craig Rochelle. And so these things are yelling at me just as loud as I hope they are in speaking to you. And I would even say many times in my own way, I don't serve money. I don't make enough to serve it. Here's a couple questions for us to think about. Have you ever bought something you don't need with money you don't have to impress someone you don't even like? If you've ever found yourself doing that, you may be under the influence of money. Have you ever compromised just a little bit to save a little bit? Maybe fudged a little here, cheated a little there. Have you ever let money be the drive that actually takes you away from family and friends, that has caused you to actually neglect your family in order to make more money to take care of your family? Ironic, isn't it? Money is a huge false god in our lives. Only promising what the one and only true God can provide. Money cannot give you happiness. It cannot provide security. These things can only be really found in a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Last week, I pointed out the good news is that you're rich. And if we're going to really embrace that, if we're really going to believe that, we've got to learn how to be rich. We need to learn how to be good at being rich with what God has blessed us with. So our key verse for this whole series is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think we have that on the screen coming up. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to highlight this, underline it. There's amazing truth here in this verse that we're going to be milking each week for more. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Excuse me, the speaker's in my way. Command those who are rich in this world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so what? Uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to what? And to be rich in what? To be generous and willing to share. This is the verse that I want us to be focused on over these next few weeks. The beginning reminds us that the rich people, those of us sitting in this room, we're not to put our hope in wealth because it's uncertain. To not put our hope in the things that we can gather up for ourselves, but instead to put our hope in God. And there's a key phrase that we began last week, and each week we're going to build on it. And it says this. It says, and it's in your notes, and I think we'll have it on screen. It says this. It says, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. And then to add on to that statement that we said last week, we're going to add this statement. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. I want you to say that with me, whether you believe it or not. Let's say it together. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. One more time. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. We are blessed. I pointed out from the beginning of time in the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, God said, you're going to be the father of nations. You're going to be the father. Have you ever sang that song, Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had. There, okay, yes, you got it. So that was Father Abraham. Abraham, the forefather of our faith, was told, I'm going to bless you. But not so you can just be rich, not so that you can have everything on your own. I'm going to bless you for what? So that you can be a blessing to others. God has poured into our lives so that we can pour into the lives of others. God blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. I will not trust in riches, but instead in him who richly provides. The problem that we have is this money, this stack, this mighty dollar that we work for continues to scream at us. If you had more of me, you'd be happy. If you had more of me, you'd be secure. And we oftentimes fall into that lie. We fall into that false promise. And problems will creep up into our life. And I want to point out to us, each of us, myself included, three problems for those of us who fall into the trap of putting our love and trust in money. Again, I want to point out, money is not bad. Riches are not bad. God is going to bless some of you beyond what you can even believe. But he blesses you so that you can what? Be a blessing. And so, how are we going to be good at being rich? Well, first of all, the three problems we need to be aware of that we need to pay attention to in our own life. And again, I want this to be like a test of ourselves. Look at yourself. If you see any of these creeping up in your life, my hope and prayer is that today you would say, God, weed out that whatever it is in my life that is keeping me from not letting you be first and possibly serving money more than you. The first one is, for those people who put their love and trust in money, they, one, never have enough. You're never going to have enough. If I were to come and meet with you and just ask you, hey, are you satisfied with your income? You would probably say, you know, I could use a little more. If I were to come to you and say, are you satisfied with the things that you have in life? Well, there's a few other things I'd like to have. That's always going to be the answer. There's always going to be something more to have. There's always going to be something more that we think we need. And the truth is that I know that some of you are at different places. Some of you are doing very well, and some of you are struggling to make ends meet. Again, like I said last week, some of you are single parents working 2-3 jobs just to pay the electric bill. I understand that. And sometimes you need to know that actually always, if you are struggling, we want to be here to help you. If you can't make your rent, if you can't pay your bill, let us know. As a church, we want to be rich together, and we want to help meet your needs. But oftentimes, we feel like we're never going to have enough. Is this the kind of mindset you have in life? Do you always feel like you're behind? Do you always feel like, if I could just make a little bit more? Ecclesiastes 5:10 was written by one of the wisest men to ever walk the earth, a man named Solomon. And he wrote this. I need to move these speakers. Note to everybody who sets up speakers. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never what? Satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. The wisest man to ever live, Solomon. And he had tons of money. He had so much stuff, arguably a lot of it was a big part of his downfall. But Solomon straight out tells us, whoever loves money will never have enough. Whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with their income. No matter how big your stack gets, it's never going to be enough. As a worker in the ministry, pastors don't typically make, you know, the most money of people in society. And we've had to learn to live based on a certain amount of income. And there have been times when we've had to struggle to make some ends meet. But the truth is we've always had peace in that process. God has always stepped up to provide for our needs, even when we weren't sure how things were going to come together. And if we instead live thinking that, God, you're always going to have enough. God, you're always going to enable us to do what you call us to do. Instead of having the mindset that we're never going to have enough, the way we live will be transformed. Instead, we need to learn, instead of loving and trusting in money and realizing it's not going to provide happiness, it's not going to provide security, we need to instead put our love and trust in God, who richly provides us for our every need. There will always be more to be had. Money will continue to be an illusion that draws us to itself. And we need to realize that it's a false, it's a lie. Proverbs 18:11 tells us this. It says, the rich think of their wealth as a what? A strong defense. They what? Imagine it to be a high wall of safety. We think if we build up enough stack, enough in our bank, we're going to be able to weather any storm. We think we're going to be able to get through the tough times that come. If I have enough money, I can keep the bad things away. I can have insurance in place that's going to take care of things. I can purchase a backup plan so that if the first one fails, I can be rich in the lives of my friends and they'll always be there. We think that if we have enough money, we're going to be able to have security. But this is imaginary, the scriptures say. This is wrong. They think it's a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. We need to realize the truth is that the only thing that can provide happiness and security is God himself. We are rich because God blesses us and gives us more than we need. And so we need to be a blessing to others. Number two, for those who love and trust money, they find it increasingly difficult to give big. Some of you in this room, you want to be a blessing to others. you want to tithe. You want to be able to give 10% to the church that you believe in is doing good things for God's kingdom. You want to be able to help others who are in need or are struggling around you. But you're not sure you make enough yet to do that. You feel like if I can just get some things in order, then I'll be able to give big. The fact is, statistically, again, a lot of this is based on polls that have been done on the charitable giving habits of people in our culture, not just church, but nationwide, the people who give the most to charity, churches, organizations, nonprofits, those who give the most make less than $12,000 a year. The more people make, the less percentage they give. So the more, if you're waiting just to wait, make more, you're likely just to assume more and consume more and need to spend more and not have more to give. On average, those who make less give most. And yes, there are exceptions. There are many exceptions. In fact, there's a great passage of scripture in the book of Luke, and because of time, we don't have time to turn there. But in Luke, I think chapter 21, there's a story of Jesus being in this temple. And people are bringing their temple, their tithes and offerings into the temple. And some people are bringing these huge amounts of money and trying to impress everyone with how much they give. And this little old widow comes in and she gives 2 copper coins. And Jesus looks at her and says, she has given the most. Because she did not give out of her wealth, she gave all she had. And Jesus looks at our heart. And there are some people in this room that have been able to write huge checks, and we are grateful for it. You've been able to get behind Hope Hill and the things we're trying to do. My question to you is, even you, are you giving the way God wants you to give? I'm not trying to milk you for more money. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help us to realize, what does it mean to truly be rich in God's eyes? What does it truly mean to be a blessing in others' lives in God's eyes, not compared to the person sitting next to you? We all are called to give back to God and to give big. I know that many times funds, the way we look at math doesn't always add up, but God's economy is totally different than the world's economy. A couple years ago, I think it was our second year. It was our second year. The very first year, we did the Adopt a Family Project. We adopted, it was either 14 or 17 families for Christmas. We decided that as a church, God had introduced us through a couple of events to some families that were struggling in our community, that weren't going to have enough money to put food on their table for the holidays, that weren't going to be able to buy their children presents for the holidays. And we felt like God wants to use us to do this. So that first year, many of you stepped up and partnered together, and we adopted 14 or 17 families. The next year, as we were praying and going into that season, I just challenged our staff at the time, our volunteers. I said, I think God wants to take us to a whole new level, and I want us to be able to just commit to whoever God shows us in need that will step up. And so everybody at the table was in agreement. And right away, we reached out to those we adopted the year before. Some of them still needed help, and so we committed to help them again. And then we started having conversations with those we had been meeting in the different communities around us, and we found out more were in need, and our numbers were quickly growing. Soon, we had 20 on a list. The next week, we had 30 on the list, and it was growing. And a couple people came, and they got nervous, saying, are we gonna be able to provide for all these people? And I reminded them that when we sat down and we prayed together and we said, God, show us what you want us to do. God said, God showed us, we felt this in our prayer time, that he was going to send us people he wanted us to care for and that we weren't going to have a cutoff. And so we were at 30 plus and we were getting nervous. How are we really going to care for these people? We had built into our church budget $2,000 to be able to, if our community wasn't able to step up and sponsor these families, we were going to dip into $2,000 of our church budget to make up the difference. 47 the number grew to. Then over 50. The second year, people were getting nervous. And the last couple weeks before the birthday party for Jesus happened, we had gifts come out from people we didn't even know. Rob Mosier's not here today. He called me up and said, John, you're not going to believe this. This guy, I just sold him a fridge, and he asked me if I went to church somewhere. I said, I did. I go to Hope Hill Church. And he said, can I give your church $2,000? Just, what? God's economy is not the world's economy. We can go through life thinking, I don't have enough, I can't give big. You can't outgive God. And I'm not here trying to say, again, unfold some prosperity gospel message that if you give 10%, God's going to magically put a $100,000 check in your bank account. It doesn't work like that. I'm not here doing that. There's a lot of faithful people who are struggling to make ends meet. I'm not saying that God is going to bless you with finances if you submit to him. But God will bless you if you submit to him. And so we are going to be a church that continues to live lives of generosity, that we are going to live beyond our means because we have a God that's given us vision to do great and mighty things in this area. And we're going to need to depend on him for his things, his vision, his dreams to come true. So instead of saying, when I get a raise, I'll start giving more. When I get my credit cards paid down, I'll start giving more. When I get the house in order, I'll start doing more. When I get the kids through college, these are all real things. These are all things that I wrote down and said a couple months ago. I was, when can I increase my tithe? And these are the things that I was writing down for myself. Well, if I ever get that raise, if I can get these credit cards, these are my things that I said. And my encouragement to each of us is that we don't live according to our view of things. Instead, we start living as rich people now. We start giving to God now because it's now that matters most. God is calling us to be a church that lives this way. God doesn't want us to just, and here's a bit of vision for our future. And sometimes I've been afraid of this vision because it's so huge. But God is a big God, and God gives big dreams. I do not see Hope Hill Church just in the school for much longer. My hope is that we are a church that is not only having community groups meeting in different areas in the community. My hope is that by the end of this year, we would double our community groups. Not only are we doing that, but we have these things called Hope Houses. And I don't know if you knew this, but for about a year, we had a missionary couple, Doug and Kathy Terranova. You remember them? They lived with us for about a year. They lived in a home bought by a family in our community, in our church, bought a trailer in Forest Park. They lived there, and out of that trailer, we had a food pantry. We had a coat and clothing closet. There was a weekly Bible study there every week. On the weekends, we offered tutoring for students who needed help, homework help. We have a vision for Hope Houses continuing to be built in our community, in pockets and areas and neighborhoods that need a ministry outpost. We envision those continuing through us. We also envision Hope Hill not just being one gathering, but several gatherings. I keep having a vision of us having a congregation over at AMC Theaters, over off Route 1, and having one church and satellites. And I'm not talking 10, 20 years down the road. I'm talking soon because there are people in need, and we need to provide worship gatherings for them to be able to come to together. God has so much for us. There are people in this community that are struggling, that have real deep wounds. We have many of you here who have gifts as counselors, psychologists, and therapists. And we have started Hope Heals, a counseling ministry of Hope Hill Church. And we're going to continue to reach out to those in need, giving them the gospel, giving them hope in Christ, and helping them get through life's struggles. We are going to live as if we are a rich church because we are a rich church. We're going to keep giving because God has the stuff he needs us to give. And we're going to keep living that way. And my hope is that as I look out to you, I will see a church full of rich people living richly. Are you on board with that? Amen. Are you on board with that? Yeah. We have so much God wants us to do. Number three, people who put their love and trust in money have money in the bank, but no peace in their hearts. Again, Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says this, whoever loves money never has an... Oh, I just read that one. Sorry. Proverbs 15:16. Wrong passage. Proverbs 15:16 says, better... Say that with me. Better... One more time. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. God wants us to realize that living his way is better. Better with God. Better with him. than having all that we think we could need, all the riches that this world promises, and having a life full of turmoil. A recent study was done where an interview was done of billionaires. And the shocking thing that I read about this article, again, because of time, I don't have time to read it to you. Billionaires have more stress, more anxiety, more struggles in their life than those who make below the poverty line. You're sitting there saying, well, give me the billion. I'll find a way to be happy with it. More money is not always better. Don't walk around in life with money in the bank and no peace in your heart. Only God can provide true happiness, true security, and true peace. And we need to be a church that discovers that. Many of us make more than our parents ever did. Many of us make more than we ever imagined, but we're strapped because we consumed everything we make. Instead, we need to learn to live on less than we make so that we can be a blessing to others. We need to learn to live better on less, live better in ways of being a blessing, live better not buying into the deceitfulness of riches. Because more money isn't going to solve things, but more Jesus will. Money cannot keep your kids off drugs. Money cannot make your marriage work out. Money cannot cure your friend of cancer. Money cannot bring healing to the deep wounds in your life. Only Jesus can help in these situations. Jesus brings intimacy. Jesus brings healing. Jesus brings focus. He brings power. He brings purpose, and he brings the divine. Jesus can only bring what money promises to give us. We need to stop living for more money and start living for more of Jesus. Less of me, less of the distractions that money brings in my life, less of the things that I strive for and have a drive for, instead more of him and his purpose and his ways in my life. I'm sick of going to the ticket counter, trying so hard to get 800 tickets, because did we ever get 800 tickets? We got 500. Sick of getting 500 tickets and only walking away with these and sweet tarts. I don't even have the sweet tarts anymore because we ate them. All that we amass with our money is going to be gone eventually. The scriptures say, don't build up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We need to be a place that knows how to be rich, because we are a people who are rich. We are blessed by God, and we need to start living like that. Let's pray. God, you are a rich God, and you are the one who richly provides everything we need. God, I pray that you show us how that we can start giving big. I pray that you show us how we can start living like good, rich people should. I pray that you help us to learn what it means to live lives of generosity. And that we would live with open hands, God, looking at everything you've blessed us with is yours. God, you've simply lent it to us for us to use it for your will and your way to bring you glory. God, help us to not walk around with full bank accounts and full closets and full cabinets, feeling a lack of peace in our hearts. God, help us instead to start serving you instead of serving money. God, help us to serve others instead of serving our bills. God, help us to make wise choices and wise decisions, but God, help us to do what matters most and to learn what it means to be rich in what matters most. God, your word tells us that as you decided in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, to leave all you had in heaven, all your riches, all that you had, God, all the heavenly things that you at your disposal, God, you gave all of that up and you lowered yourself as an infant. You came to this earth to live a poor, lowly life and to die on a cross for us in our place, God, so that the riches of heaven, so that the gates of heaven could be open to us, God. God, let us learn how we can be vessels of the riches of heaven into the lives of those who are in this world. God, if that's adopting a child in another country who can barely afford to eat, God, help us to take that $38 a month and to send it to that child. God, if it's getting behind the church vision that you've poured into Hope Hill Church and giving our 10%, our tithe back to you so that we can accomplish all and more that you've called us to. God, help us to do that. Help us to be a people that are free to live the rich lives you've called us to live. So as we sit here this morning, I want you right now, if you're in this room and you know you consider yourself a child of God, you consider yourself in love with Him, I want you just to call out to Him right now and say, God, show me in my life where I'm not using my riches for you. God, show me what I can do to make a change there. How, God, can I live a life with open hearts and an open hands to you, God, with take what I have, it's yours. Let that be your prayer right now. And some of you in this room, you may not even know Christ as your Savior. You may not realize that God Himself took on flesh, that He went to a cross to die for you. The Bible tells us that we are broken people, that we have sin in our life. And the only way that sin can be taken care of is if we put our faith and trust in the one who never sinned, in Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth and gave of Himself everything He had. He went to a cross and died for us in our place. And today you can put your faith and trust in Him and call out to Him and say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm struggling with some things in my life and I need you. I've been trying to seek the almighty dollar, and instead I need to be seeking you. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins, make me yours. God, I pray for each of us in this room, no matter where we are in our journey with you, if it's our first steps walking into your loving open arms, God, be with us now as we walk into your arms, accepting your love, your forgiveness, your salvation. God, if it's those of us who are your children and we're simply not living the kind of life that you want us to, God, help us to see the next step you want us to take. Show us, God, how we can be used by you to be the rich people you've created us to be. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Over these next few moments, as our worship team leads us, our communion teams are going to be up here serving communion as a reminder that, guys, all that we have comes because of what Christ did for us on the cross. So as you come forward, as you feel led, as you feel like, yeah, I'm ready to take my next step with God, we invite you to come forward and to take a piece of bread as a symbol of the body of Christ, broken for you and broken for me. You dip it in a cup of juice, a symbol of the blood that Jesus shed for us. As He died for us, let us continue to be driven to figure out how we can be more living for Him. If you want to pray about salvation, about receiving forgiveness, I'll be up here at the front. We also have prayer teams in the back ready to pray with you. If you want to pray about I want God to show me what to do with my riches. I know that sounds silly, but the truth is we've all been richly blessed. And if you want to pray about that, go and come up and I'll pray with you. Go to our prayer teams and pray with them. Let's listen to God. Let's respond. Let's let Him lead us in how to be the rich church and the rich people He's created us to be. God, move among us now. Let your will be done. In your name we pray. Respond as the Spirit leads you.